or mock up attached there under after that, this section, so that I can easily correlate that to that.
And one more thing, please. Here the data, whatever they mentioned, most probably we won't get the details from how exactly the calculations are going to happen in fund detail space. So if they are providing some specific tables or columns where exactly we need to refer, that would be really helpful to us to validate the application.
That the data values are correct as well.
Yes, we can do that. Because right now, based on the fund detail space, whatever they are expecting, that is, I do agree that is entirely redesign or redesign. But if they want the values also populating correctly or not, that based on this VRDs, it is not possible to us to validate. So if they are providing some kind of tables where exactly that particular section data is coming from the database.
Yeah. I see. Raj, you're at your desk and Mahesh is with you, right?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to share my screen and show you kind of a high-level view of all the different project work streams that are involved in this web integration. So let me do that. Let me know once you can see it.
Yes.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so this is what Jay and others have put together in terms of the different work streams that are part of this web project, and I'm just going to just go all the way only to development and I guess testing. Let's not look at this line yet, but over here, just let's look at the headings. There is the different work streams or areas that are, new applications or updated applications go into this division. There's the unit trust site, or it's not a site, it's just a section of the site called unit trusts. There is the task or work stream of product data migration, which is kind of a behind-the-scenes flow of mutual fund data that has to find itself on the website. There is the pages that constitute fund overviews, where you have a lot of details about each fund. There's the list pages, in which not each fund, but all funds are listed. And that those are some there are some updates and new features that are being released. Then there was going to be a fund screening and a fund comparison application on the Invesco.com website, but we have decided that they are not in scope for this first phase, which is due sometime end of September. Then additionally, a new common element that is being updated or developed is the My Account, in which a person logs into the site and is able to view their, just like in any sort of login environment, you have your profile where you can update your personal information. You have the registration page where you can actually request a login, so that's even before you log in. And there is tasks associated with migrating some data. The reason why we are calling this web integration is that this is the effect of bringing in the Van Kampen / Morgan Stanley funds activities and business into Invesco. So that is why, one way to think about it is that we're actually integrating some of the elements of the business and of the website together. And so, as you can imagine, back on the Van Kampen site and in the Van Kampen business, there was already a login environment in which brokers had their way to see some special information for themselves only, maybe see the transactions that they had performed for Van Kampen, and also, you know, change their personal information. So some of those features were very attractive and they were very, you know, interesting. So when we decided to redo the Invesco site, the business, you know, sat together and decided to bring in some features from Van Kampen and possibly even other environments as great ideas for implementation on Invesco.com for the U.S. And so that is what some of these changes or new developments mean. So then you'd also have a listing of, in addition to this kind of housekeeping function, you'd have the listing of products that a person is interested in and wants to have a good, quick way of finding how the different funds or products are doing, as well as transactions that they performed. And those records of their transactions would be, within their login. There was going to be a watch list, but that's not in scope. And then there are some additional kind of user experience related changes, which have to do with the audience gateway, which means, specifying what kind of a user you are, whether you're a financial advisor or an individual investor trying to get to the site. Perhaps the home pages for each of those roles. Those seem to be still a little bit nebulous. We don't know exactly how much is changing and whether or not there are any, requirements specified. Other tasks in this whole integration would include migrating the content. So the documents that are currently on the Van Kampen environment to be brought into the content of Invesco. Lead Center, which is, the ordering of manuals and ordering of literature, and also additional features such as search. This was search before. I don't know why it disappeared. Oh, because the color changed. Okay, never mind. Okay, and web analytics. So some of these are more IT-specific, and maybe they won't require user testing, but they might require, our own testing. Anyway, so yesterday, Tram, who is managing this whole set of work streams as a project manager, and I sat together, and she requested the help of the QA team with testing, providing for the test phase of this project. And, I said, well, what can you give us in terms of the input into this testing? She says, well, I can give you the BRDs and I can give you the page marks. So what she basically provided us with in that email was kind of in relation to these different work streams. And so looking back at her email, we can probably tell now why these and not the other ones are here. So it's the product data work stream, and as you see, there's the fund list and fund overview. So switching back here, we have the fund overview and the list pages, which we can actually call fund list for our definition, so that it corresponds to what she wrote, and then the my account. So that's my products, my transactions, and registration. And so this is these three. So Tram said that she would be able to provide us with the My Products and My Transactions mockups, that mockups for Fund Overview and Fund Lists would be present, and that there would be business requirements documents. There's apparently three business requirements doc, number one, number two, and then number three that would cover the My Account. So do you guys have any questions? Is this making sense as we go through it?
It is very clear, Krishna.
Okay, great. And so what we want to do also is, review these business requirements docs and kind of, I don't know if we have any way to request a modification of these BRDs, but if we could recommend something, we probably should. There's also this whole unit trust piece, which we are going to have to test because it's a new thing that actually gets placed into the Invesco side. But somehow we are stuck in a, you could say, no man's land as far as the requirements for it. Let me just show you real quick what this unit trust thing will be. If you currently go on the VanKampen.com side, and go into financial products, unit trusts. You will find a certain, set of functionality. Oh, I'm in mutual funds. Why am I here? It's going to unit trusts. You'll find a certain functionality and certain kind of data. Entities that the business refers to as unit trusts. There is a certain search logic. There are some divisions of asset classes for these unit trusts. And of course, you get into the pages such as daily prices, performance, historical pricing, distribution, etc. And the business basically said, we want all of this functionality to be transferred as is into the Invesco.com side. So I believe that what will happen is, when this project is Invesco.com, when this project is done and you are a United States investor, you would go into products and performance. And if you go to unit trusts, see right now it's pointing to VanKampen.com products unit trusts, which is where we will take it away from. Basically, we will shut down the whole VanKampen site as a result of this project. But when you click on unit trusts, you will see the same behavior on this vignette. This is our vignette portal on the vignette platform. And it's supposed to behave function the same way as this does. I think the look and feel, both in terms of CSS and other elements will be adapted to the Invesco look and feel, but the functionality will be as what we see here on VanKampen. And the difficult part here is that we don't seem to have the requirements for what exists, and therefore, the business basically is kind of like pretty much washing their hands saying, yes, we want everything that we see here now on VanKampen for these unit trusts to be transferred and ported into Invesco.com. And if you want your requirements, just look at the site. So we basically currently don't have a requirements document that will describe the functionality here. So that we could start building some, use cases and test cases, right? So what is your thought on how we can proceed with testing something like this?
First of all, we are not sure where the data is coming from. If you see here, we have different dates, different, then there are dollar amounts. There are a lot of things on this site. So where exactly the data is populating from?
Yes. The data, are you... Yeah. Are you familiar with the different data stores within the in technology applications?
No.
Okay. You know, you've heard about the ECDS database? Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine. No, I'm just trying to answer your question, you know, in the sense of both either conceptual or specifics. So let's speak about it conceptually. The data will be housed inside. It's already inside. The whole Van Kampen site right now is already within the Invesco platform as far as the back end is concerned. Basically, as part of the migration and the joining of the business between Van Kampen and Invesco, the Van Kampen IT... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Has the migration been done or is it in progress?
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's define what migration is. We migrated the systems from the Van Kampen environment as they were. In other words, we have not, you know, we're no longer talking to some external network, you know, or an external environment within Van Kampen. When you type vankampen.com, you're actually accessing Invesco's infrastructure, and you're accessing, you know, databases that exist within Invesco. So all the data flow, all these systems, and the UIT business is all migrated into Invesco. So we have perfect access to the data sources for these data points that we are seeing. Now, this being said, these data sources are basically copies of what existed in its own right in the old Van Kampen environment, which was, you know, within the Morgan Stanley infrastructure. But as part of this whole laborious migration that everyone was talking about, Venus Project, you know, as part of that, we basically copied and, whenever needed, adopted the whole, you know, infrastructure from Morgan Stanley Van Kampen, and we placed it and raised it, stood it up, as they call it, in the Invesco area. So right now, we are slowly basically breaking away from what we couldn't do quick enough during the migration. You know, we couldn't, you know, like, incorporate all these things directly into the Invesco look and feel because there wasn't enough time. So now we are using the time that's already, you know, now on this side of the transaction. The transaction is completed. We could exist with this vankampen.com site forever, so to speak. But, of course, that's not practical. It's not consistent from the user standpoint. You know, you don't want to see this user interface on vankampen.com and the other user interface on invesco.com. We want the clients to have, you know, one consistent experience. And so the one big element that is very different between Invesco's structures in terms of data structures and funds and Van Kampen is this unit trust, because for mutual funds, which Van Kampen also has, as you see over here, the first tab is mutual funds, that Invesco has in already great supply. As you know, Invesco has mutual funds, and this product type and product description and product details and all the functions about it, about mutual funds, are very much common. So there is not really a lot of effort in terms of, you know, you data migration or function migration for mutual funds. And same thing with closed-end funds or separate accounts or insurance funds. We either will do much for them or maybe not, you know, not have a very good match, but that's okay. 529 portfolios, which is the third tab, are going away, so that won't be an issue. So it's these unit trusts, which are kind of the claim to fame for Van Kampen. They are a very good, innovative product, something that Van Kampen had come up with, you know, years back, and it's a very good product. It does very well. In fact, even in yesterday's call for Invesco, they were commenting how those unit trusts, or also another phrase used for it is UIT. UIT. You will hear like, oh, UIT site, UIT. Unit trust or unit investment trust, or UIT is what they're calling these products. So you know, the migration itself is completed, but the integration is what we are, you know, working on. And In fact, what will happen for our phase one is the front end only will be integrated into Invesco.com. But the back end data for UITs or unit trusts will not be integrated until further phases. So we will have a slightly different data store source for this data as opposed to what we would have for the mutual funds. Mutual funds will be completely integrated, both back end and front end at the end of this phase, but unit trusts will only have the front end integrated in terms of the data. The back end will remain in the Van Kampen databases, and then over time it will be integrated more.
Right now, no. When we click on this unit trust, it is not taking us to a Van Kampen. But where is the data populating from? Is it populating from the Invesco data store or it is a different data store?
For unit trusts, it is definitely populating from the Van Kampen UIT data stores. There was a, whenever you're on vankampen.com, I hope I'm answering your question. But whenever you're on vankampen.com, even going to mutual funds, sorry, there's some delay here, you're still looking at the old Van Kampen database. Its data source, data store is still Van Kampen. It's not the strategic Invesco ECDS, but it's the legacy, you could say, Van Kampen database called VWA, if you want to know that. Unit trusts also are stored in VWA.
Okay.
So
the data store has been integrated into the Invesco, but still we're not using, pulling the data from that place, right?
Correct, yes. Well, you could say that. The UIT's data store has been not very, well integrated because the Invesco systems didn't have, an equivalent for it. But for mutual funds, I believe that we have the very much top level, the very much upstream data sources integrated very well into Invesco. But for the purposes of the website, there is a local or a little more dedicated data base called VWA, which is still, within the Van Kampen, set of databases. At the end of the project, the Van Kampen database, the web database, will be very much limited to only the UIT funds. The mutual funds will no longer be sourced from the Van Kampen web database for the purposes of the website.
Basically, looking at the site, the possible types of tests we can do is, one is a usability test, one is, the data, whatever is populating on the screen, is it correctly, bringing out from the right tables and getting displayed.
Okay.
And security, what all, the users having what permission should access this page.
Mm-hmm. This is really a public site, and I think what they would be asking us at the end of this project is the sign that this site has been successfully integrated is that for the UITs is that it works exactly the way that the Van Kampen UIT is working right now. Basically, the key there is as is, And so my question would be, how can we list the functionality that we see on this website and say, if this functionality is achieved on the new integrated section of the website, then this test, can be considered as passed? What kind of information would we need to be able to come to that conclusion?
The first important thing we need to know is, each and every, we have different columns over here in the table. So where exactly the data is coming from, you know, which column, so that we can verify, cross-verify that, you know, by changing it in the database and all, so the right data is getting displayed. So that details we need to have first.
No, I think they are not going to provide the right access to modify anything from in the database.
And you know, some of this data does change on a daily basis, so that might be our opportunity to compare if we have read access to the data store, we can compare the values there. But do you guys, let me ask you this, how would we create a list of what we will be testing? Because I mean, over here you have quite a bit. I mean, this is not, if we go into the unit trust page, the functionality that exists is, you know, the overview, the daily prices, performance, you know, historical pricing distribution, calendar. There's this search screen. Boy, this is slow. There's the search, not screen, but the search function you can type in. Let's say I type BRIC to see what comes up. I'm what I have in mind is find this opportunity portfolio. So I'll just start typing BRIC. And you see how there is the different symbolic references to these products. CBRIC 0103, and it also came up here. So if I click on this, the expected result is that I will find myself on this product detail page. And that I'll be able to get the fact card, the prospectus. So, you know, as you know, this indicates that there's some content that had to be made available and coordinated so that it's there. Which, by the way, to answer your question, what are the data sources for content? We will be moving away from the current content management source, which is Alfresco for Van Kampen, to the content management solution for Invesco, which is VCM, you know, vignette content management. So all the documents that currently are being used on vankampen.com will be migrated into VCM. So if we go back to our work stream list, that part of the work is associated with content migration. It's this column here. So I guess what I'm trying to kind of get from you is some ideas on how we can arrive at a description of what this website does, you know, just so that we can use what we learn about this website today on the old system as our input for functional and, you know, quality assurance on the, you know, the other end.
Okay.
I guess let me ask maybe more in the sense of, you know, yes or no question. Do you think that it would be a good practice for us to actually spend some time on the site and describe what it does right now so that we can help ourselves? And when the site is migrated, we can say, well, the old site did this, the new site migrated does this, therefore they do the same thing. Or how do you feel about, you know, is this something that we as a team could do or should do since we don't have the input? Or should we push it back and say, we absolutely need requirements from you guys, from the business or from the project management team or someone else? We do not do this for whatever reasons.
Chris, let's take some time looking to this site, you know, identify all the features and what are there currently on this site, list out them, you know, and then we'll, you know, if we have any questions or if we
okay.
Need anything from them
mm-hmm.
or anything, you know, we can identify that and we can, you know, come to a conclusion altogether.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're, yeah, I see. Gotcha.
Yeah. Whatever I've worked earlier with projects, it is kind of, if we are working some time on this existing application and if we are making some kind of test cases, and I think those test cases we can successfully run on once they are migrating that application. I think this is a sufficient base where we can write the test cases and understand the functionality, what exactly how it should work
mm-hmm.
after the migration as well.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying from the standpoint of a developer who is rewriting this application into the Invesco technology, they can provide us some input as well.
Mm-hmm. They're exactly in VCM, they're exactly there going to modify such things if we are getting. That also really will help us to validate that new site as well.
Yeah, I see. Very good. Okay. So we really should, I think what I'm hearing is a very good direction that we should both ourselves take a look at the site and familiarize ourselves with the functions that are happening on it right now. We should consider basically having some sort of communication with the business and say, this is what we see about this site, and these are the questions that we have for you, because we may either not understand or not completely be familiar with these elements. Can you help us out with that? And then the third facet would be, go to the, you know, work with the developers closely. When they rewrite these functions, we ask them to provide the main features and the main, functional elements of it, as well as business rules that we should incorporate in our testing. And once we do that, then we will come away with a very solid, I think, baseline for the current application and a very good foundation for creating our test cases. Okay, very good. Then, I'll move in this direction. You know, logistically speaking, you know, in terms of locations, I happen to be slightly more partial, not partial, more maybe a little more familiar with this Van Kampen aspect, because you may know that I was, you know, with Van Kampen before the Invesco transaction. So I'm familiar with the developers. I know the people who will be rewriting this. In fact, they are on the Oak Brook team. So from that standpoint, I can get some good points and some good details from them. As far as the business, I think the it's not a problem, but the reality of it is that the business really likes what they have, and you know, everyone is so busy with doing their everyday stuff that they won't say, okay, I'll just write what I see for you. Rather they will say, you just tell me whether or you have some document already. I think they would be more open to saying, okay, if you have a document, I'll tell you whether it's right or wrong. Or like one of you said, if we have some questions, we'll raise them to you, and it will still be easier for someone to say, oh yeah, that's right, or yeah, no, that's wrong, or this is how it works, you know, if it's a question to explain something. So it's finding that perfect method of communicating where we don't put some big task on someone's plate and say, hey, write everything from scratch for me, because that will never happen. And rather is kind of like building, collaborating on something and kind of putting together those bits and pieces. And, we being in charge of the whole picture that we need to achieve, you know, we'll be able to probe and receive the inputs from those who will be working with us. So this is kind of the work that's ahead of us. For the business requirements documents that we have right now, we see some deficiencies, as you guys have commented. I know that this document that Mahesh, you forwarded, was very interesting, and I was reviewing it yesterday. I think this is the document, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that one.
Yes, yes. And I wanted to find out a little more about this one, Mahesh. How do you feel about the quality of this document? Is this something that you would say is close to a good example of what we would like to use?
No, Krish, I won't say that. If I want to rate it, on a scale of 10, I would rate it on a hardly 5 on this.
Can you repeat? I'm sorry.
If I want to rate on a scale of 10, I would rate this document as 5.
5, I see. Okay, I see. Do you happen to have an even more ideal example of a document that you would like to see as a, you know, as an ideal BRD document?
Yes, Krish. Generally, first of all, I'll tell you, what is not there in this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Actually, this SRS document, describes, the field level validations. If you see the screen print, whatever is right now open, I can set up. So in the further sections, what was described is just, the validation. They said that, so and so label should be there. It should whether it is a, drop down or a text box, and what should be the validations. What is the limit of that? That is what it was specified. If you say.
Mm-hmm.
And some high-level business rules were specified at the end. So, but what actually this field represents? Where the data is coming from? And how, where it is getting integrated with? Is it integrating with some other screens? The data is coming from some other places. Nothing, sort of that has been specified here.
Okay. So, if we were to, since we are starting something new, and if not for this project, then for next project, or maybe for this UIT part or something, if we were to be in a position to either dictate or request a certain format of a document that would be an example, or that would be really helpful and would lend itself to a very good quality assurance process. I guess that would be kind of the question: what kind of document would get a higher score than a 5 from us? Would you happen to have anything from your prior experience or some other good examples that might illustrate how we should formulate these business requirements so that they can be used for, as inputs for our testing?
Yes, Chris. In my previous projects, some of the projects, had very good SRSs, requirement specification documents, where it mm-hmm. was, clearly specified each and everything, where it's very descriptive what they're expecting and, what should be there, where it is coming from and all. Let me check, whether I have those copies, because it was long back, almost 2 years back or so.
Sure, yeah. And, it is definitely something that we would look at for just inspiration and guidance rather than, to get any sort of details. So if there's any confidential things or anything like that, we don't want to step into that, but just to see that, ideal document, maybe have a little walkthrough on that.
Or I can do one thing, Krishan. I can just surf on the web and see whether I could get any right kind of SRS.
Okay. And once again, the acronym that you're using is SRS?
Yes.
Can you spell that out for me or tell me what that stands for?
System requirement specification.
Okay.
Actually, Krish, here one concern is, it is like entirely depends on project.
Mm-hmm.
Even sometimes what will happen is they are maintaining some separate user specification documents or some low-level design documents.
Yeah.
But then they are not going to mention each and everything in SRS. Because SRS is kind of system requirement specification, what should happen from start to end. That is kind of end-to-end document. And it is entirely depends on project. If they want to keep each and everything in the same document, then mm-hmm. they are going to maintain all that each and every content, or everything.
Yeah.
And if they want separate document like low-level design document,
mm-hmm.
they maintain separate document for SRS and separate document for HLD, that is high-level design document, and separate
uh-huh.
document for low-level design document. In that case, we can mention how it should work. Some kind of end-to-end process in the SRS document, and we can describe each and everything in detail in low-level design document. Even
okay.
I think we have some templates in SharePoint, Invesco templates. I'm not sure how much it will help.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are maintaining such all the documents in a proper manner, that really helps. Just to improve ourselves also.
Yeah, yeah.
In process oriented
ways. Right. You know, of course, we want to make everything to be a very high score for our, you know, the quality of the documents. And as you can tell, I'm just learning from you guys a lot of this, even, you know, both starting from the acronyms and, of course, going into the meaning of the different documents. So I'm very thrilled that I can do this. One thing that I remember seeing in the whole agile development methodology is they often use this phrase "good enough." You know that the documentation should be only as good as necessary. It shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't take any more time than necessary to develop, you know, whatever documentation. And I wonder how this translates in our, you know, both, you know, testing and quality assurance, you know, whether there is also that type of agile approach where you kind of do the things that are, you know, just as good as they need to be without overkilling it or having to wait for the whole thing to be completely done. You know what I'm saying? You know, what would be some of the variables of the agile perspective? And would they help us in projects like this? I guess that's probably a little of an involved discussion.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that maybe we can stop here because we're at the top of the hour, and I have another meeting, but. Today is Wednesday. Maybe we should try and meet. Let's see. Are you guys available tomorrow? If we were to have maybe a little catch up, maybe go into some specifics.
Yeah, fine. For me, there is no issue. No problem. We are open.
Okay. Very good. Let me see whether, you know, I can kind of come up with some sort of agenda. What would be some of the things that we should go into as a team? What would be some of the things that we should discuss in the next meeting?
First, we need to decide upon what we need to concentrate on, like, you know, the one which we are talking right now, the BRDs and the mockups. Is that our first priority now, or no?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other thing other than
yep.
the first thing which I had, you know, which we had? So Jay even specified upon, you know, liquidity link website. You know, so not sure, you know, what exactly is our first work.
Right. That's a great point, Mahesh. Right.
Yes,
I'm just trying to, you know, recognize your voices now, and I think I'm close. Okay, I just want to say that that's true. We have to get a good understanding of what the responsibilities and real, you know, prioritization and priorities are. Raj, you were up to this point. You were involved in the in which testing projects? Could you remind me again?
Overseas, and right now I'm working on means just I'm studying the CE project, that is overseas CE redesign project that
okay.
Recently they started that redesign and mockups. They are right now still they are working on that.
Okay.
So right now I'm analyzing how many test cases we are going to prepare such kind of things. Just I'm studying that application. There
okay.
are around 28 sites. You. That pages we have to verify.
All right. Okay, so what you did you say CE?
Yes, CE.
Central Europe?
Central Europe.
Okay, I see. That's not the same one as the UK that's coming up. Where
we have been overseas project and this is just last Friday I think we got that few of the documents from client.
Okay. And then Mahesh. Okay, very good. Mahesh, you're kind of torn between liquidity link, right?
Yeah, Krish. But from next week onwards, I will be with Ticket.
So oh, okay.
I will be releasing from liquidity link.
Okay, gotcha. And for eTech, are you pretty much, you could say, a clean slate, or do you already have some, outside of what we talked about today, do you already have some you know, ongoing requests from eTech other than Liquidity Link?
No, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we could look at loading some of these tasks with you, and there would be kind of no prior commitment, so to speak, for the other systems. Okay.
And we also need to find out the expected, you know, completion dates on the task.
Yes.
When are they expecting this?
Yeah.
From us?
And even one more thing, Chris, it's better if they are confirming what exactly they are expecting from us, whether they are expecting in detail functional testing or the kind of, because you said that like man campaign project they are merging with Invesco, right?
Yes.
What exactly they are expecting, in detail functional testing they are expecting, or just only the all the things, whether it is working properly or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of basic thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Information that based on that we can approach on test case preparations and test plan document and such things.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. Like, what kinds of tests would we be involved in? And, you know, I kind of want to know more, perhaps learn a little bit from the different kinds of tests that there are. And, you know, it seems like when I was talking to Tram, she was not very clear on telling us exactly what kind of testing we need to have, you know. And I'm sure if you ask this general question, do you want to do testing? Of course. How good do the tests have to be? Well, as good as possible, you know. So it's like, if I think if we had some ideas on what tests, you know, make sense in this whole integration projects to give a pretty good grade to this project, you know, we could probably also be the ones, you know, recommending. So rather than, you know, asking them what they want, because they may not even know, we might be in kind of the seat of a recommender and saying, this is what we feel based on the information we have. These are the kinds of tests that we should do, or these are the kinds of tests that we would be able to do.
Then in that case, it's better if we are aware of how long they are going to provide for testing that application. Because, so you know, once we are getting the time frame, how long they are going to provide for testing, or what time they are expecting to complete that QF things.
Mm-hmm.
Then based on that, we can estimate what are the areas we can cover and we can approach on that.
Yeah.
At least if we are getting some time frames.
Right.
Based on that, we can estimate what are the areas we have to cover and what are the areas we can skip.
Okay. Okay, that's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because, if you give us a year, we'll give you a very, very, very thorough test of everything. But if you give us only 3 weeks, then there isn't. Yeah, that's definitely a good point, good variable. Okay. Well, that's great. I will try to see if I can find some answers on this. I think conceptually speaking, the project is going to be delivered sometimes starting end of September. It may be delivered in phases. So I think we may have a week or two to kind of get our arms around the actual components that we are looking at. I think familiarizing ourselves with these BRDs and writing up the UIT system description, maybe the SRS or something like that. And then we would have to take a little time to decide what tools we would use, you know, whether we have any time to implement, any sort of pilot run of these of the tool set that we've been giving a demo of, whether we have time for that, and how well this would be used. So there's definitely a lot of good points that we can bite our teeth into and work with. All right, I'll see if I can schedule some time for tomorrow evening, your time. Let me ask you, if we were to do it at 7 p.m., from 7 to 8 p.m., is that, and be honest with me, is it somewhat close to your quitting time, or what time, what are your hours usually there?
7 to 8 your time, or
no? I'm talking India time. What are latest times that you want to leave the building?
Generally, we'll be leaving at 7:30, Krish.
Okay. Okay. Got you. Yeah. Understood.
We have a special call or something.
Mm-hmm. So if we wanted to have some good opportunity to kind of do it in a relaxed way, it would be best to finish by 7:30. Even better to finish by 7.
Yes, Krish.
Yeah. Okay. And what time do you get in, if I may ask, so that in case there is an opportunity on the other part of the day to spend some time?
That would be difficult. We'll be getting into the office at our time from 9:30.
From 9:30, okay. So if I were to say, how about if we have a meeting at 10 a.m. your time? Is that something that's
no problem, Krish.
Doable? Okay, all right.
But that would be too late for you, right?
I kind of want to get those dimensions from you only because I worked with our team back in Morgan Stanley days. They were in Mumbai, and sometimes it was a good opportunity, to have a quick connection point, especially if we are like already running with everything. And so even a half hour meeting at the beginning of the day would deliver the information necessary for that day, or just sending an email so that I know it reaches you at the right time would also be helpful, and some of this glue that has to happen between the different time zones is good to do. So, okay, perfect. I now know what more or less what your parameters are. Okay, and then as we continue our meetings, we'll learn more about how we like to work, and I certainly appreciate the input that you guys have provided already on these best practices. Okay, so feel free to let me know if you have any additional questions or follow-up points, and then we will try to meet, if not tomorrow, then maybe earlier next week, to get some discussion going. I suppose, am I correct that Friday is not a good day for an evening meeting?
Yes. Yeah, okay. We would be, you know, going to native places and all, so that our trains or buses, you know, would be starting a bit early.
I see.
We need to leave the office a bit early.
Okay. If I may ask, please be very very direct. What time is Friday end of day a good time, and you kind of leave and you're no longer there?
5:30 to 6:30 IST, I think that is good, even if.
Okay.
Okay.
6 or 6:30, something like that, is the latest, and then we would not go beyond that. Okay. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good evening. Thanks for all the input. Let's digest through all these materials and. We'll be communicating, okay?
Okay, Krishna. Have a nice day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Hello?